Live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
MTN is one of the leading and largest telecommunications operators across the continent and having given us an update on their earnings so far. Now, if you know anything about the constant news we share about the constant continent as well as the currency fluctuations, you'd be well aware that Nigeria has been a sore spot for many operators and South African businesses who have exposure there. MTN is one of those reporting a significant loss over the concerns in Nigeria. We're joined now by the Group CEO, Ralph Mupita, who joins us to unpack the numbers further. Welcome to the show, Ralph. Such a pleasure to have you with us tonight.
No, the pleasure's mine.
Fantastic. I guess first things first, anyone looking at the major news headlines happens to notice the 10 billion rand loss in terms of your books as well as the concerns over currency fluctuations. Let's touch on the sore spot first, being Nigeria. You've warned us about this. We have seen the challenges coming. And I guess now it's all about the interpretation of the numbers into constant currency.
Yeah, I mean, Google, as you said, our results, you have to look at them with two lenses. The first is, what is the underlying operational momentum in the business? And I think we've clearly set it out today that across our businesses and in Nigeria, the underlying momentum, particularly for data and fintech, remains very strong and resilient. Data, you know, in constant currency grew 21%, fintech service revenue 27%. We put in capex of about 13 billion rand. And so we are seeing the demand for data and fintech services, you know, continuing to grow. Data traffic growth was about 36% year on year, and fintech transaction volumes 18%. So the underlying growth dynamics, the customer demand, and how the business is growing, very, very solid. Mm-hmm. Now, when you translate that underlying solid performance, there are two very sharp macro headwinds. The first is Nigeria. In May last year, the Naira would have been about 462 Naira to the dollar. Sharp devaluation in June last year to about 700 odd. Mm-hmm. But the year end was 907. And then in the first half of this year, it's averaged about 1500. Mm. So an extreme and sharp devaluation has worked its way into our reported financials. And that actually masks the strong underlying growth trends. What is encouraging, though, Gugu, is that since April, the Naira has been relatively steady. Now, if you use forecasts from the likes of Standard Bank Group Security, not using our own forecast, is that you should see currency, the Naira, moderate actually towards the end of this year. Obviously, it would be very helpful towards translating underlying good results into reported results. So, you know, we'd like to believe that the worst of the currency devaluation is behind us, and you see much less volatility in the Naira. The second impact was really around Sudan, mm-hmm. Where the ongoing conflict also impacted our numbers. But the rest of the portfolio, you know, grew, you know, pretty strongly when you normalize for Nigeria, both for service revenue as well as for earnings. Mm.
It might seem like an unfair question, but Nigeria remains a very critical market for MTN Group. Given the outlook you've shared in terms of the currency going forward, does this mean that you'd still stay invested in that region?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, Nigeria is a key part of you know, the MTN story, particularly the investment case around growth. You know, we have 78 million subscribers in Nigeria out of a population of just over 210. Mm. So kind of one in three Nigerians is using an MTN network. Now, you know, at a similar scale to the for the rest of the group, one in four of MTN's customers is a Nigerian. A quarter of our customers are actually out of Nigeria. Mm. So, yes, we've seen compression on earnings. I think if you take a 10-year view on Nigeria. And in the past, when you had a much more managed currency set, if you plot a line through the multiple years and you look at, let's say, cash upstreaming that we've had, I mean, we've been able to pay down a lot of our dollar debt from proceeds coming out of Nigeria. Mm. When I joined the Agugu in 2017, 80% of the head office debt was dollar debt. Mm. We've been able to reduce that to 22%. The main engine of resource has been dividends repatriated out of Nigeria. So you know, over a longer period of time, when you work through the shorter term volatility, it's been a key part of the financial story of, and it'll continue to be. We get asked the question, are you committed in Nigeria? We're highly committed to that market, and we'll work through the near-term challenges, given the growth prospects that we see in Nigeria.
100%. Let's come closer to home in South Africa and maybe take a look at what you highlighted in terms of the growth in data. Double digits there, 36% was the number you quoted. But in South Africa in particular, it seems as though there's been a heightened level of demand. Talk us through this consumer dynamic that is actually resulting in this positive performance.
Yeah, we're encouraged by the performance of South Africa. And South Africa's basically Google been at two quarters. First quarter had some load shedding impacts. Q2, very limited load. We saw service revenue 3% in Q1, 3.6 in Q2, the blended 3.2. Very good progress we've seen on the enterprise business continues to grow very well. Digital services have also grown very well. The wholesale business is holding up, after some of the concessions we've made to Cell C and consumer, postpaid, we've seen kind of a healthy growth. The real pressure that we've seen in the period has been on the consumer prepaid side, where we've seen a bit of pressure. We may have even lagged in terms of, doing price optimizations in the prepaid market. We've started doing it end of June into early July. But I think the big call out is the significant impact load shedding had in the prior period should not be an issue as we go forward, because one is Eskom load shedding is much lower. In fact, it's non-existent at the moment.
Yes.
But we also invested in backup power. So we've finished the investment in backup power. So even if the Eskom load shedding came back, we think under stages stage six or thereabouts, we will still be able to have a network that's 95% available. So South Africa now looking forward is really a growth story. How do we grow more towards 4 to 6%? We currently have been growing at kind of 3.3. So, we still think that there's headroom for growth in the South African market.
I'm so intrigued by this because, as you say, you've already laid out the capital in terms of backup power, of course, just shy of 1.5 billion rand, if I'm not mistaken, last year to actually counteract the effects of load shedding. Should this removal of load shedding be the status quo? Does that speak to perhaps an alleviation and saving of some billions here that will be translated into revenue streams?
Yeah, I mean, it's as you know, we often say internally, it's too early to call that this is the end of load shedding. One cannot say that just yet. And so, we now have the infrastructure and the assets to help us, counter any load shedding if it does happen, because we now have batteries across pretty much all of our, base stations. There's 13,000 of them. And we've gone to put up, batteries with high levels of autonomy, and so forth. In some areas, we put solar, where we have rooftops and the space is available, and we do have some gensets for what we call hub sites with that aggregate a lot of the traffic. So the network is now resilient, and it wasn't before. If you cast your way 2 years ago, we depended purely on grid power, but now we have a mix of grid power and backup power. We're enjoying the period right now where there's really there's no load shedding. But if it did return, I think what we can say is we put in, I mean, the total amount of investment we've put in Google has been 4.6 billion rand, actually.
Sure.
1.6 of it was this year. We spent 3 billion last year on load shedding, batteries, gensets, solar panels.
Sure.
So a substantial amount of investment has gone into backup power. And I think it holds us in good stead if, for whatever reason, we were to see load shedding returning.
Yeah, quite a substantial investment you've made there, and certainly reaping the rewards, as you say, should load shedding continue. Let's talk fintech, Ralph. Over the last few years, this has been a very key part of the diversification strategy for MTN as we head to 2025. And there's been phenomenal growth here. Some key acquisitions and partners that you've also brought on board. Help us contextualize the increase there in growth. I do see revenue increasing by 27% year on year. What's led to this, and how do we continue to see optimism, especially when it comes to Momo?
Yeah, we're encouraged by the growth that we're seeing. And to Serene, Kunle and the team will lead us there in our fintech strategy. Very encouraged by what they and the team have done in the period under review. As you say, service revenue, 27%. To me, a big call out is what we call advanced services. So these are the services that we believe the customers across the continent are going to need more and more of these. Remittances. We've opened up now 577 remittance corridors where people can actually, send monies to loved ones cross border. Payments and e-commerce, bank tech, that cluster of solutions, which we call advanced services, that grew over 58% year on year. So the nascent demand for these services remains very, very strong. Particularly outside of South Africa,
yes,
they have very little access to financial services. And for us, leveraging the capabilities and skills and competence that we have to connect customers on wireless networks, we're largely leveraging that to do the same for financial services, financial inclusion. So we're very excited about the growth prospects. To your point, we believe that going forward, we have to drive this through partnerships, predominantly finding partners with the same vision and focus as we have around driving financial inclusion. And so, we signed a commercial agreement with MasterCard earlier this year, and we're beginning to roll that out. So there's seven markets that we've targeted for issuance and acceptance. And so we'll complete that rollout towards the end of this year. So
are you able to share which markets those might be?
Yeah, so this is Uganda, Rwanda, Ghana, Nigeria, Cameroon, and Cote d'Ivoire. Those are the main markets that we're looking to. Nigeria is interesting, for example, Google.
Yeah.
I mean, Nigerians still like to not only have virtual cards, they actually like physical cards, particularly in the north of Nigeria.
Even though they move their money mobile.
As much as you, just as you and I are kind of moving towards virtual cards, there's a huge part of our market that there is a prestige in actually having a physical card. So we're working with MasterCard in making sure that we remain relevant to our customers. I think the long-term trends is the virtualization of cards. But as we're going along that journey, we also need to be sensitive to what our customers are saying they want and they ask. I mean, Carl says, Ralph, in the north of Nigeria, you must understand that without physical cards, we will battle to grow. So, I mean, we're listening to our customers. And Nigeria is also on that roadmap of the seven markets.
Makes sense. Seems as though we're back on track or streamlining into the vision we have for the strategy of the business in 2025. To wrap up with, Ralph, what can shareholders hold you accountable to in the short to medium term, given that we have, less than 6 months before we hit to 2025?
Now we have 18 months. It's the end of the year.
True.
It's 18 months. I don't know how you're counting. I'm counting to December, 31 December 20. Look, I mean, we put a bold strategy out, which is really a transformation of the business. And, transformations are not simple and easy. And in many respects, as we're transforming the organization, we are going into relatively uncharted territory. I mean, as I look at the strategy execution 18 months down the track, what do I think we've done well? I think on the fintech side, we're progressing in the kind of broadly in line with the growth that we anticipated. Nigeria is slower than we would anticipate, but I think a lot of that has to do with the macro headwinds because I look at what we're doing versus Airtel to say, are they doing a better job than us? They're not doing a better job. So there's a bit of a macro, but we still feel compelled that the case for Nigeria will emerge over the medium term. So we're sustaining our efforts there. We spoke about the deleveraging of the balance sheet. I think we've done that. That one, I think we can do It's a big tick. We now have got a very limited amount of dollar denomination so that
Yes.
we have a much more resilient balance sheet to be able to withstand shocks. I think we're making good progress. In terms of our InfraCo fiber, we've actually deployed, we have probably about 121,000 kilometers of proprietary fiber. Our target is 135. And with the build-out of East to West, which we are partnering with Africa 50, a subsidiary of African Development Bank, I think we're making good progress. We said we would drive localizations. We're making good progress on localizations across our markets. And we said we would realize proceeds from asset sales of 25 billion. We're now just shy of 22 billion. And that's before, and at that time we were looking at, we announced our strategy. We're looking at selling down IHS and selling down up to 35% in local hands of Nigeria. So MTN Group shareholding in Nigeria going to 65. Those two things haven't happened, IHS and Nigeria further, but we're pretty close to ARP. So, and the final thing is was simplifying the portfolio, exiting markets where we didn't believe we were going to have a long-term right to win, or we were going to be able to generate the returns we're seeking. So we're out of the Middle East consolidated subsidiaries now. We announced Bissau. Look, at the end of the day, the shareholders must market the homework, not myself.
Yes.
So, but I think we've made really good progress. Actually, under very challenging macro headwinds, particularly the currency headwinds we've seen the last 18 months.
100%. Always a pleasure speaking to you, Ralph, and looking forward to, yes, you're right, the next 18 months. Perhaps I'm looking forward to the start of 2025, but we'll get there.
Yeah, looking for a new year. New year.
Yeah, definitely.
All
A
good
new
to go.
fresh start, hopefully without this amount of volatility in the market.
No, thanks so much, Google. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much. That's Ralph Mupita, the Group CEO of MTN.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.